hello, and once again, congratulations are in order. You've made it to another Friday.
Double happy hour.
Well done. Double happy hour for you. And time for American Hit Radio. We have the great distinct pleasure of being able to be the first ones to go on the air at exactly 5 p.m. at the end of the work week. I'm your host, Tom Ryan, my lovely wife, co-host Heidi Morales Ryan, here as well for the Friday edition of American Hit Radio. Now, of course, this is the How Music Changed Day, and when we are looking deeply in depth at a variety of topics, we've got 250 that we are intending to cover in this lifetime and our next, which is probably how long it will take for us to get it all done, especially at this rate, because this is part 26 that we are dedicating to our coverage of the Kinks. Now, I will be the first to admit that we are probably in an era of the band's history that is one of the more difficult to appreciate. I was kind of looking forward to getting to this period of the band's history because it's the part that I know the least about. And I figured that by maybe spending some time and talking about it in depth and listening to all of it, that it might basically present itself in a way that made me realize, oh, look at this. I've been missing this all this time. Well, I have been missing it, but I don't think I'm going to miss it when it's gone. and I don't mean to be, you know, offensive about it. I picked the Kinks because I do believe that they are one of the best bands that came out of the British invasion. And the ones with the most longevity and that stayed credibly relevant for longer than just about any other band except the Rolling Stones. Some would also argue the Who. And I could see why. That's fair enough. But it's funny because in the beginning, it was the Who were borrowing liberally from the ideas that were laid out originally by the Kinks. A lot of the Who's early singles were flat out, you know, and quite honestly, I mean, the band admitted as much. Pete Townshend said that I got most of the ideas for my early singles from listening to Kinks songs. It's what makes it ironic, then, as we reach the era where we are now, which is around 1974, that the tables had turned so drastically. Because at this point, the Who have proven themselves to be, of course, Pete Townshend in particular, at being masters of the theme album, having Tommy under their belt, and then even
but
more
even
so.
The rock opera idea came from the Kinks.
Right, exactly. Originally, it was like, you know, that's what Ray wanted to do with Victoria, except everybody bailed on him. The thing that was going to keep that project held together slowly fell apart. So it was a shame that he lost it, and then the Who got credit for inventing it. But the Who ran with it, man. They got that ball, and, you know, by the time they reached Quadrophenia, the level of genius that was coming from The Who was astounding. Well, Ray started to then, you know, put out his concept albums with this series, the Preservation series, being his most lengthy and in-depth version of it. And frankly, I just, you know, if you gave me my choice of hearing Quadrophenia for the 10,000th time or hearing this for the fourth or fifth, I'd probably say, oh, play
give me Quadrophenia
again.
For sure.
Now, the reason we are playing it, though, is because I said when we started, I really wanted to cover the Kinks in full, in depth. And I'm pretty true to myself in that regard. I'd feel as if I was like cheating if I were to skip over an era until I reach a point where I think it's appropriate to. And this being the middle era of the band, and I know where their career goes from here, it's certainly worth hanging in there. So we'll just get through this. We can tough it out. And maybe we'll find a couple of great things along the way as we play it. Now, for the past 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, we played the album Preservation, Act One. Last week, we played the first half of Preservation, Act Two, which is really where you can hear the story developing. And today, we're going to finish up that whole Preservation series. This will be the end of the concept album, the pair of concept albums, which was three albums, six sides of music to create Preservation between Acts 1 and Act 2. So we'll pick it up right here where we left off which is pretty deep into the series now. If you recall, this is more or less a battle between Mr. Black to control the minds of the masses, or Flash, who was a corrupt politician who nevertheless seemed to have a good side, but was still incredibly selfish in the way that he ran things. So Ray played them both as different parts of his ego. And I think the rest of the band would have agreed wholeheartedly that those two sides did a pretty good job of representing Ray's ego around this time. Certainly his brother Dave did. We'll get to that in a short while. But here's where we left off. We'll pick up with a song entitled Flash's Dream, basically subtitled The Final Elbow.
Flash. Flash.
Who is this?
Wake up, Flash. Can you hear me, Flash?
Who is this? Who dares to wake me from my slumber?
Need I announce myself? Am I such a stranger to you?
Say your name. Speak!
I am your soul.
My soul?
I have come to show you who you are.
Show me who I am? I know who I am, you upstart! How dare you intrude?
You lied and schemed and took over a simple village and turned it into a vulgar playground for your own money-making ends. Before you came, people lived simple lives. This was a happy place.
I think this change in the world, I think the world is going to change.
Then you plowed up the fields, sold off the land, lined your own pockets with the profits.
Lies, lies! I did it to help the nation.
You did it for your own preservation.
No, no!
Prepare yourself, Flash. There are many who suffered at your hands. They are craving for vengeance. Time is running out.
Can this be the end? Can this be the swan song, the final elbow? I will not go. The people need me.
Men like you will always come and go, but the people will go on forever. Take one final look at the past, Flash. Enjoy it. Because you have no future.
No, 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 I can't stand it!
Now, under any circumstance, that song would be a very weird way to start a radio show. And yet, there it is.
You weirdo.
Let's pick it up exactly where you left off. Now, I hear that song, of course, as it fits in the context of the story. It's fine how it basically takes a place where Flash has got to have a moment of recognition about the things that he had done. But it's also very easy if you've been listening to the Kinks for 26 hours straight, as we have for the past half a year, that you could hear that song as a subconscious version of Ray talking to himself, perhaps, about what has happened to the band and how he has been in terms of how he's been running things. That's what his brother would say. This is taken directly from the book called Kink, which was Dave Davies' autobiography about this era. Around this time, Ray and I were drifting further and further apart. He was becoming more self-involved, while I had become more reclusive and withdrawn. At one of the rehearsals, I suggested to him that we should write some of the songs together, since I felt I could support his ideas, themes, concepts, and lyrics with musical ideas of my own. I was totally flabbergasted by Ray's reply. He said, in an extremely dismissive way, "No, I don't think so. Anyway, anyone can write songs." I was really hurt by that. Of course, his dismissal of my ideas didn't stop him from using them. It seems petty now, but at the time I was already disillusioned. I was often overcome with feelings of hopelessness. Ray behaved as if he were living in a world of his own, becoming increasingly self-focused, appearing to have little or no regard for others' feelings or ideas, as if in his mind everything and everyone was there merely for his sole use. So it's interesting that he is playing out the psychological drama between Flash and Mr. Black on this three records over two albums story of his called Preservation. It continues here with the next step of Flash's, sudden awareness of his poor behavior. It's called Flash's Confession.
Deceitful and a lie. Now I'm facing hellfire.
I can't believe
that my time has come for confessing all the evil and the wrong that I've done. The reckoning's come and now I'm just a no one. I confess to the timid and the meek, to the cripples and the beggars and the tramps in the street. I confess my cruelty, my ego and conceit. I've opened up my body and looked inside, and I'm everything that I once despised. I confess for the thieves, the affected and deranged. I confess for the muggers, I'm incurably insane. I confess to the ugly for being so vain. I confess to those I hurt for causing the pain. I'm just a mummer.
So as again, as I am reading it, and I am sure that there are many other ways that it could be read, but I hear what's happening here is that, you know, Flash has this revelation, and his revelation, in a sense, leads to his downfall, or his, basically because he loses his ruthlessness, and that makes him vulnerable. Something that I really wonder is something that maybe Ray was thinking about himself, that maybe he needed, because all the problems that he had with lawyers and the way that he felt that the music business was burning him for the past 3 or 4 or 5 years, because God knows the Kinks got a bad deal. I mean, if we learned nothing else from these 26 shows, is that the Kinks really got screwed by the music industry badly. And to the point where they, you know, they wouldn't, their records wouldn't chart at all anywhere, and yet they were making some of the best albums of the 60s when that was happening. Really a strange scenario. And he was also then losing his rights to his own music because of the fact that all the lawyers were battling for who controlled the band. So all of his money ended up being put into accounts that he couldn't touch.
Right, all kinds of escrow accounts.
Right, escrows and such. So yeah, he got burned. And it's and now at this point, his marriage fell apart. And that is something that definitely affects a person's personality and can make you very bitter and confused and very self-conscious, maybe feeling a little bit guilty. So I don't want to play too much into the fiction as autobiography card, but it's hard to not see that there's at least an element of it that is here. And because Ray felt that these things were his issues, probably why he felt that he had to have full control of this project, whether it was working musically or not. Here is where the story more or less turns over on the next track, where Flash begins to lose his power, and where it's pretty obvious that Mr. Black is going to take things over. It's called Nothing Lasts Forever.
When we were young and green, we shared our dreams together, and you were my friend.
Nothing lasts forever.
say goodbye. My love will never die.
Actually, this is Heidi's point, to which you deserve, you said it. But it does sound much more like somebody singing about a failed marriage than a politician singing about a loss of power. Especially since you've got males and female going back and forth. And since that was very much a part of Ray's life, it's hard not to draw these parallels.
He's exercising his demons here.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like very much like that's the case. And, it is a story, but what it really is it's a story disguising a lot of, like you said, I guess, personal demons. Oh, boy, my divorce and all these horrible things that have happened. And
it's easy to come up with lyrics of things that you're actually experiencing.
Right, and then trying to put it into a story form so that you can more or less distract from the fact that you're being, purely... an egotist, in a sense, by writing exactly about your own personal experience. Hard to avoid that, though, as this wraps itself up. Well, there's a device that Ray uses throughout the album to move the story along, where he has individual tracks, short tracks, called announcements, as though they are TV or radio broadcasts describing what is happening politically. And that's exactly where we pick up here. With the story. Yet another, the fourth announcement that appears on Preservation Act 2.
At 6 a.m. this morning, the victorious People's Army overthrew the corrupt regime that has been ruling over our country. It is reported that Mr. Flash and his gang were all taken prisoner. They have been taken to a secret hideout where they will be tried for treason by a people's court.
Thank you. Tell the world that we finally did it. We made a man that's totally programmed. Preconditioned thoughts and emotions. Push button artificial man. But did you ever wanna live forever? Well, here's your chance to be a total automaton. Cause we've improved on God's creation. An updated Homo sapiens.
And if you're still with us, thank you very much for hanging in there. We'll let you know that we are getting deep into it. If this was the vinyl, we are halfway through side four, so we're getting near the end, the section where this all begins to wrap up and come together. It should also be noted, by the way, it's worth mentioning that although the album appears to have failed on many levels, the live shows apparently did not. There was a lot. I mean, the live performances around this time were much better received than the album. To a man, I've known a few people. There's not a lot, because there wasn't a lot of people that were seeing the Kinks on tour at this time, because they weren't that popular. But they'd be playing the college circuit a lot. And the people that I do know that were at these shows list them as some of the favorite shows they'd ever seen, some of the most entertaining and wacky and crazy and fun. So... I guess, in a sense, you've got to try to imagine this in a live environment to help pull it off. Tracks like this next one, I guess, perhaps part of the reason why it would help to work in a live environment. This song is called Scrap Heap City.
Honor's dead and buried.
One of the things that they did on the tour was there would be a big cast of characters. Each of the band's members would play a variety of characters to convey the story as it unfolded. But there were other people on stage. There were four background vocalists. They don't sound like they're professional vocalists. They sound like they're adequate, but they might have been chosen because of their willingness to stay with the project and perhaps the tour and
maybe their acting abilities
maybe,
might have been better.
Exactly. But you know, that's where the girls came from that are appearing on the album. Now, this is it. We have reached the end, the thing that sums it up. Of course, there is an announcement, which I presume is made to clarify exactly where the status of things are, because the songs only do so much as far as explaining that. And then that brings us to the closing track of the past three shows, which is the series that has been known as Preservation. That track is called Salvation Road. So you'll hear the announcement and then the track Salvation Road.
A state of emergency was declared by the government at 8 a.m. today. It was stated that this step has been taken in the interests of national security, and the emergency measures set out in today's announcement will remain in force for an indefinite period. A curfew will take effect as from this evening and will operate between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m. each day. The curfew will be enforced by patrols from the People's Army, and severe penalties are to be imposed on anyone found on the streets during the daily curfew period. Food rationing is to be introduced immediately, and shops will only be allowed to open for a period of 3 hours each day. Restrictions on the use of petrol start immediately. Restrictions on the use of electricity, gas, and water will also be announced shortly. All places of public entertainment will be closed until further notice. All television channels are now closed down, and radio broadcasts will operate on this channel only. And now, here is the People's Choir singing the new national anthem, which led our victorious troops into battle.
As we walk down Salvation Road.
Well, we made it. That's the we that means you, mostly, I guess, because you stayed with me for, let's see, two full shows and two-thirds of this one. We have completed the preservation series, allowing us to move on, you would think. But
hold
on now.
Do we get a T-shirt? Do we get a T-shirt?
Not quite yet. Not quite yet. Believe it or not.
A bonus track.
Part of the complete. Exactly. There was a bonus track that didn't make the album, which I think would be enough to make anybody quake in their boots and say, no, please.
I'll tell you already.
What. It's kind of weird, but I hear the bonus track as being like one of the best things in the project. It's like they took out the song that I think, certainly from what we've heard today, the way that the album wraps up, I think this is the best song we will play yet today. Didn't make the final cut, but it's a song that was meant to be in the preservation series, and it's called Slum Kids.
To be dragged. about the slum kids all around you. Oh, we never stood a chance. We were dragged up from the gutter, yeah, from the wrong side of the track. So how dare you criticize when you don't know what it's like to be dragged up from the gutter, from the wrong side of the track. Whoa! Whoa!
There it is, a song that was, as you can hear, part of the live show that was cut from the actual album. But it's good, as you can hear, maybe get some idea of how it seemed to work better live than it did on vinyl. If that song's an outtake, it's a... Actually, I think you would not agree with me that it's probably better than the album tracks that we had heard. Now, it's interesting because, again, let's
read a
little bit. I guess
live they decided to add it back in.
Yeah, probably, the live version. Well, again, let's Dave tell some stories about the live situation, what it was like for him. As time went on, Ray became at times an almost vampire-like drain and pull on my creative and emotional energy. I would receive little or nothing in return. I felt that Ray was becoming increasingly more ambivalent towards me. He had become ruthless, manipulative, and selfish, and everyone suckered up to him. All except me. I couldn't do that. And I couldn't treat people the way he did, in that condescending way of his. I wanted to help people, not take from them. It wasn't just my paranoia either. Others agreed that Ray, for reasons known only to himself, wanted to grind me into the ground. I felt that I had always been supportive of his ideas and had encouraged him throughout the ups and downs. Yet he was becoming more distant and much less receptive. The insults, the put-downs, the constant criticisms were really getting to me. At some shows, he started making insulting remarks in front of the audience. At first, I pretended it was nothing and just laughed it off, but this eventually led to a lot of resentment on my part. Later on, there were various occasions on stage where I would take the bait, lash out at him, and then feel like a prat afterwards. "I would now like to introduce my brother, the silly little sod," he would say. I'd lose it and run across the stage towards him with the intention of hitting him with my guitar. He would promptly turn to the mic and say with a sarcastic grin, "Only joking, Dave." Then he'd go on, "You'll have to forgive him. He's a little uptight today. Let's hear it for Dave, Death of a Clown Davies." I would seethe inside when he'd pull this kind of a stunt. What the audience didn't know was that I had to put up with this type of mental and emotional abuse from the bastard on a day-to-day basis. I think he really used to get off on it. There were so many instances, particularly in the studio, where he would deliberately provoke an argument so that I would eventually release my anger in front of everybody. After the shouting and verbal abuse had died down, he would often look very pleased with himself. He always has to have an audience and always has to have attention. So you've heard enough about the problems between Ray and Dave. Now you know just how real it was and how Dave was kind of freaking out about it, not really knowing quite what to do because it was a bit of ruthlessness to Ray's behavior. A lot of history there, which brings us to this next track. It's another non-album track, not from the Preservation series, just something that existed independent of it, just a song that was written by Ray, and it happens to be called History. I think it's a very interesting track.
This morning to see if anybody was there. On the way I met a clockwork soldier who stopped me as I walked up the stairs. I said, "Can you show me the way to a National History Museum? I've got so many questions to ask all the people about our history." son, you must be crazy. You'd better get out of here. This is establishment territory. The likes of us should never go near.
I said, please won't you let me see inside your mausoleum.
Relevant that that track is called History.
That's this is exactly a song called doing. Skin and Bone for all the fat people in the audience. All right.
Covering history. I just got a call, by the way, from Melissa. I've got a hole in my head. It's so hard for me to remember the simplest things, but we were also talking about the way the band used a horn section. It was the Mike Cotton horns, the Mike Cotton band, that would back them up, and it was a really cool part of what the band would do live. Here's probably an example of that, a live version of the track Skin and Bone. We'll finish out the hour with a little bit of this track. Thanks for listening. We will be back next week as we continue our coverage of the Kinks. Moving on past preservation. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week.
She do the meditation and yoga, and she's shown away the good food guy. She's given up the alcohol, pieces and the pies. Now she's looking at you ready to die. You can't see her walk by. She don't eat no mashed potato. She don't eat no butter scone. Stay away from carbohydrates. You're gonna look like skin and bones. Living on the edge of starvation, and she's struggling. Shoulder bones connect to your backbone. Here's where I